Welcome, welcome, welcome to Reaching New Heights with Troy Bell, the City Manager, City of Muskegon Heights. And today with my special guest, Chief Maurice Sain.
Hello, everyone.
Glad to welcome you back. Again, Reaching New Heights, where you get to know what you need to know, so you'll be in the know. So thank you for tuning in again on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. I'm sorry that we are coming to you a little bit later than normal. We had a couple things that we had to work out in order to get us off on this show. So, but again, thank you for joining us and thank you for the comments and feedback from throughout the week. Certainly appreciate that. But I want to go ahead and jump into today's show because we want to cover a number of things. We had a guest that commented recently that it would be good for us to go over all the things that are happening in Muskegon Heights, the things that we've accomplished, the things that we've been able to change, and the ongoing projects that are either in motion now or on the horizon. And so I'm happy to welcome Chief Sain here because the police department has a number of things that they're moving on. And I think that is a key part of talking about what is going on in Muskegon Heights and where we're trying to go with Reaching New Heights. So, Chief Sain.
I'm just excited about being able to promote a new sergeant. Sergeant Fred Hall just was promoted the other day at the council meeting, along with Lieutenant Sinclair. We haven't had a lieutenant at Muskegon Heights Police Department since Lieutenant Gill, who was the former chief. So it's probably been about 10 years now or longer since we had a lieutenant at the department. So I'm very excited about being able to reestablish the command structure at the Muskegon Heights Police Department.
Yeah, and that's got to be a critical aspect of us being able to provide good policing service, having that chain of command and that additional administrative support. I mean, I can't imagine. You said how many years has it been?
At least 10 years.
At least 10 years that we've been operating in a capacity and still doing a good job. Don't get me wrong.
Definitely. I think Sinclair, Lieutenant Sinclair, for the last 10 years has been doing a lot of the lieutenant responsibilities. So it was good to be able to probably give him that position. And also just being accountable, you know, having accountability in the police department from a patrol perspective, he'll be leading that charge. So I'm excited about that.
Yes. And so, and my point is that you've been doing an outstanding job as it is. And this is just part of taking it to the next level.
Right? Thank you. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
And so you've got another project that you've got underway.
Yes, myself, Muskegon Heights Police Department and the guns program, we've been working diligently at trying to do some new things over at A Street Park. We've raised probably around $64,000 to $70,000 so far. So we have been getting in a lot of the equipment with COVID. A lot of that things were on back hold. So it's good to finally see some of those things moving in and getting new basketball rims and football goals and scoreboards and all that kind of stuff. So we are asking for the community to come out this weekend and next weekend to help try to clean up the area and help put some of this equipment together. We have Muskegon DPW along with Muskegon Heights DPW also assisting us in putting together the new playground equipment that we also have. So it's just exciting news to be able to bring some new things to our community, some things that our children will get to use for many, many years to come.
And I'll tell you, coming up in the city management profession, it's often said that you can tell the nature and value of a community by the way they manage their parks. And so because the care and love is here in this community, we have to do a better job in bringing up our parks and the way we take care of our parks and investing in the value of our community parks, because that is an opportunity for our kids to enjoy themselves, to have the exercise, have the quality of life, as well as the rest of the community to be able to experience, you know, the green spaces and an opportunity to be able to recreate here in Muskegon Heights without having to go to another community in order to enjoy nature. So I applaud the work that the Guns program has put together with in collaboration with the city to bring a key part of our community, 8th Street, up to snuff. So
another thing I would like to add also, just a reminder that on Wednesdays at 10 a.m., I'm still at the US Cafe every Wednesday meeting with community members who have any concerns. A lot of times you can catch Mr. Bell there. You can see my detectives there as well. And also Calvin Davis, who's one of our code enforcement officers, will be there. So if you have any questions or any kind of concerns in dealing with any of those departments, please feel free to come up, sit down, have a conversation with us, and we'll try to figure out the best way to resolve your problems.
All right. And so some of the other exciting things that are going on in the community, have you seen the billboards up?
The billboards are up. That's great. I think Mr. Morrow, the chief inspector, has done a tremendous job with promoting that project. So I'm excited to be able to be out helping clean up some of the areas around our community.
And we've been talking about this on the show for the last few weeks, the April kickoff of the cleanup of the community. And as promised, Mr. Morrow has delivered with those amazing billboards. It's nice to see up on the billboards, you know, beautiful faces doing great things in the community and pushing pushing us to the next level in terms of raising our expectations of the way that our community looks. And that's what it's all about. It's about having the mindset that we take care of our personal responsibility with regard to our properties. And many of our members of our community already do that. And we applaud that, certainly, but also accepting responsibility for the areas that are outside of our personal property. So if we don't come together and unite around that, then we've got a much bigger battle to fight.
Right. Yes, yes, definitely. And I'm looking forward to some of the initiatives that's coming out soon with citizens being able to maybe make a couple extra dollars here and there cleaning up some of the empty lots that we have. So that information is soon to come. So I'm excited about that effort as well.
And I do have to give credit to one of our council members, Councilman Cook, who when I first came on board as a city manager, he mentioned, you know, at some point in time, we need to do a cleanup campaign and get the word out with billboards and the like. And so you will begin to see popping up on yards around the city those people who have pitched in with cleaning up the community. And they're excited to have a sign on their property saying exactly that, you know, beautify the heights, fight the blight. So if you're interested in being part of that, you can come down to the inspections office where Mr. Morrow is and request one of those yard signs. We have a number of them, and we want to see them up throughout the entire community. So if you can, please come out and show your support, pick up a sign and put it in your yard, because we want this to be a message that everybody sees, that we love our community, we want to see it beautiful, and we're willing to put in the work to make it beautiful. So pick up your yard signs. And finally, you probably will be receiving in the mail, if you haven't already, a postcard that kind of outlines the ordinances and the expectations that we have for this spring cleanup. So good stuff. And as of April 1st, you can't park on the grass, right?
Can't park on the grass April 1st, nor the terrace.
Yes.
And that's something we want to get away from anyway. We want to, you know, have nice, green, beautiful front yards, you know, so we don't want to see tire treads up through the yard. So just be mindful of April 1st and no more parking on the terrace or the front yards. And let's just do our part in making sure our community is one of the better communities to live in. This is my first time on the live stream, so I don't know if I'm supposed to respond, but 3,000 degrees. Thank you. Appreciate the comment.
Mm-hmm. Right. You can, as they pop up there, you can holler at them, and that's part of the question and answer. So I want to encourage you out there, if you have comments or questions, please go ahead and get on the live stream and in the comment section, drop us a line, a note, or a question, and we're happy to run through them and try to address any of the questions that you might have. But moving on some of the long list of things that have been accomplished or are being accomplished or are on the horizon, I want to talk about economy. So prior to, I guess it was September, October of last year, if your vehicle was towed, you most likely had to go to North Muskegon in order to pick up your vehicle. And hopefully you weren't somebody that ended up having to get your vehicle towed. But if you did, that's a long trek. I said it was 20 minutes. Chief corrected me and said it was more like 5 or 10 minutes. But I said, well, yeah, but that's not on foot. So, but nonetheless, what we've done in a conversation with the economy is ask them to open up a location here in Muskegon Heights for storing the vehicles so that you could go to a location in Muskegon Heights. And they were willing to lease space down at our public works department. So we're excited to say, you know, welcome to Economy Towing as a business that is located their shop here in Muskegon Heights, which is a plus, but also it's a plus in that you now do not have to trek up to North Muskegon. You can come down to DPW during the hours that are prescribed. Now you need to call Economy first and you can pick up your vehicle that way. So, and I commend Chief Sain here for suggesting the idea and working out through the details. That's not really in your wheelhouse, but you know, it's again, it's a part of reaching new heights and this and bringing services to bear that benefit our community in strategic ways. So,
and one thing with that also, Mr. Williams from Economy is also looking for local tow truck drivers. So if you're interested in getting a job in that, please get in contact with Mr. Williams at Economy.
Awesome. So in addition to Economy joining the Muskegon Heights business community, I'd like to announce Metro Consulting Associates, a engineering firm, Black-owned engineering firm, is in the process of opening up. They just signed a lease right off of Glade Street, and they have done some work with us. And in the conversations with the work, we were happy with the product of the work and would like to cultivate that relationship. And I said, it's important if you're going to be working in partnership with the city that you have a presence here in the community. And so they put their money where their mouth was or is, and they found a location, you know, which is revenue to a local business and revenue for us in terms of tax income. So, and also, you know, the close proximity that develops good relationships. So I'm excited to welcome them as business owners here in Muskegon Heights. I think that's an excellent move forward for our community to have them as part of our community.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And in addition to Metro Consulting Associates, our city attorney's law firm, Miller Johnson, they are leasing space in City Hall for their office, which is part of that whole theme that if you do business with us, we want you to have a presence in our community. And so these are exciting things that we like to announce and bring to the attention of the public if you didn't already know. All right. So what's next on the list here? Our cleanup project. We just covered most of that, but I do want to comment about how DPW is approaching the cleanup of our terraces. So I receive every year when we get to spring, we get a number of complaints about people putting stuff out on the terrace and it's sitting out there for months and weeks and months. And so this year, we kind of started this in the past year, but this year we're hitting it right out of the gate, hitting it hard, making sure that we've got DPW out picking up items that are on the terrace. So if you've put items out on the terrace, you need to have bulk stickers. And what do they run? $4 a ticket,
right? Yes.
$4 a sticker. So you can pick up those stickers at City Hall, at the cashier window. Just pop in anytime between 8 and 6:30 Monday through Thursday, and you can pick up those stickers if you need to put something out on the terrace. Now, don't put it out on the terrace before your trash. I mean, three and 4 days before your trash day. Put it out the evening before your trash day, so it can be picked up on the trash day the next day. And for some reason, if it doesn't get picked up on your trash day, you need to contact Republic and figure out what that's all about and remove it until you can figure out what Republic needs to do or you need to do in order to get it picked up by Republic. Assuming it has a sticker on it and it's in the proper form, they should be picking it up. And when I say proper form, I'm talking about wrapping it in plastic, right? If you've got a mattress,
right.
Yes. And if you've got any other items like sticks that you're putting out there, they need to be bundled up. If you've got bags of trash that are not in your trash bin, then you need to put a sticker on that bag of trash if you want Republic to pick it up.
And even with the trash bins, if you can put the trash in a bag and then put it in the bin, because what seems to happen a lot of times, if you just putting paper and trash in the bin, not in a bag, when they dump it in the big trucks, a lot of the paper and stuff blow out, and now it's back out on our streets, making our community look bad. So please bag your garbage up before you put it in the bin.
Sure. And that little extra effort will keep us from having more and more trash floating around in the community. So put it in a bag, tie the bag off, and that way the wind can't take advantage of it. So if you're doing all those things, putting stickers on your stuff and putting it out on the terrace, you should be good. But for those people who aren't doing that, so that the other community members that are in our community don't have to look at it, what DPW will do is they'll come by if it's sitting out there and it's not your trash day, it's the day after, any day that's not the day before your trash day, they will put a sticker on your door giving you notice that you have 24 hours to remove it. And if they come back after that, after those 24 hours and it's still there, they will pick it up and they will send you a bill for the cost of picking that up. And it's not cheap.
No, it's not.
You remember how much it is?
It's like $550.
$500 plus $85 fee. So it's about
$585.
A minimum of $585. Now, if it takes a truck and multiple people to pick up stuff, then the price could go up. So we don't want to see anyone have to get hit unnecessarily with a $585 fee. So please pay attention to what we're asking you in terms of putting your bulk item stickers out there and not putting items on the terrace unless it's ready to be picked up. So, and what DPW will do so that there's no confusion, they will take a picture of it on the terrace or open storage in the yard, and they will take a picture, put the sticker on the door, take a picture of the sticker on the door, take a picture of the stuff and the sticker on the door. So there's no question in terms of when, where, how, when you get that invoice for the $585 plus. But it's important because we don't want to have a community where we've got stuff out all over, you know, the front yard and the terrace. We want our community to look clean, sharp, and beautiful, and as it has been in the past. And you're old enough to probably remember those days that people talk about.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I was just at my uncle's house the other day, and I was reading a clipping of news clipping that my grandfather had when he was trying to get some youth to do cleanup in the Muskegon Heights area. So this battle we've been at for a while, and I think our community can do better. Mm-hmm. And we have to take some accountability on how our community looks. And that's going to be from everybody. You know, a lot of us still stay here because we want to stay here and live in this community. So let's just continue to work to make our place the best place to be.
Right. And I love what you said about coming together. You know, that unity makes it possible to do amazing things. So it's not going to be one individual. It's got to be all of us pitching in together. And I've heard comments that, well, you know, if the city's not taking care of their lots and they're not taking care of their building, you go down to DPW and it looks like it's torn up down there, that why should we be on the hook to do something about our properties? And so to that note, if you come down to DPW in the next few days, you will see a whole different look when you step inside the door. They've done a lot of work themselves, and I commend Mr. Kai Guy. I still want to call him Pastor Guy. Yeah. Who was on the show previously and was welcoming him to the new position. But right out of the gate, you know, he's showing the evidence of the vision that he has for a group that has been underappreciated and has been limited in the resources that they've had available to them in terms of equipment and vehicles. And so he's taken the bull by the horns and the horse by the reins and started doing things to clean up the building down there.
Right. And it's no secret that we don't have a lot of the resources that our neighboring communities have. So when you see the police officers out there in the streets, the firefighters, the DPW workers, please give a second to tell them good job and appreciate what they're doing out there, because they could be at other places. A lot of them people choose to work here in this community because they love the community that they're working in. So again, We're here for you guys. We're here as serving workers, and we're trying to provide the best service we can with what we have. So, again, when you see them out there, just give them a thumbs up.
That reminds me of the movie Hancock. You know, good job.
Yep.
you make a good point, Chief. One of the things that I was asked to do, actually not asked to do per se, but had committed to doing, is trying to hire people from the community as part of our public works department. And, you know, with the hopes that the individuals that we bring on board have an awareness of our community and have a passion for our community. And so that is one of the objectives, and it's a priority objective that I had moving forward. So, and, you know, Pastor Guy is a huge part of that. And his skill set that he brings to the table, administrative, leadership, organization, has already shown proof. So please, if you have a moment, visit down at DPW, and it will brighten your life compared to what they had before. So, and I'm going to come back to talking about DPW. But I do want to take a moment to recognize Mr. Julius Muhammad. He is a consistent viewer of the show, and he has made comments. And I oftentimes do not get to mention him, but thank you for your comments, Mr. Muhammad. And Jennifer Ross, you want to take her question there?
Nope, I was going to talk to Ms. Johnson.
Okay. Let me hit Jennifer Ross first. So there was a question about, when does leaf pickup begin? So leaf pickup, or yard waste, as we call it, started on April 4th. So you can now, when on your trash day, you can now put out your yard waste and they should pick it up. And if you've got leaf bags that have been sitting out there for days or weeks that are wet, they won't pick that up. Their limit is 50 pounds. So you need to make sure that you rebag your leaves and that and they're not wet and soaking, so they don't rip and fall out when they go to pick them up. And the second thing you have to be mindful of is making sure that there's no trash in your leaf bags, because there's a number of ones that they have not picked up, because when they get out and look in the bag, on the top of the bag is paper and cups and the like. So if it's not on the top of the bag, I don't know how they would see it. But I'm sure that if there's leaves, that they'll pick it up. So please be mindful of that. You want to take the next one then?
Yes, Ms. Johnson, if you have a problem with dumping, you can contact either my department or the inspections department and ask for Calvin Davis. A lot of times we have camera systems that we're able to put in certain areas throughout the city. So if that is one of your concerns, please reach out to the inspections department or the Muskegon Heights Police Department and ask for Calvin Davis, who is our code enforcement officer.
Right. And so there's a question about, do we hire downtown residents to work in your community? And so we are open to any residents of the community who are interested in working here for the city. In particular, we've been talking about public works. And so if that's an interest that you have, and it's one of the items that I want to mention that we have begun anew here in Muskegon Heights is Every morning you'll see the Public Works department out there on Broadway, keeping our Broadway and our Main Street clean. Broadway, PEC, typically the focus is from Baker down to Sanford, and from Broadway up to Manahan on PEC. So I'm excited that we've taken that initiative to give our streets, at least our downtown area, a nice clean look in the morning. And I commend DPW for the work that they're doing to make that happen. So thank you for Jennifer Ross. And I think we covered the comments that we have so far. Am I missing anything?
Thank you for Ms. Johnson as well.
Okay, Ms. Johnson, there you go. So what else do we have that we want to talk about in terms of things that we've done that the city has accomplished? Street projects in the last 2 years, Sherman Street and the grant, $3 million grant associated with that. And we're hopeful that we'll be able to get new striping on Sherman Street this year, as well as throughout the rest of the community as we work diligently to patch the roads. And let me take a moment to talk about patching the roads, because the potholes are atrocious. And one of our challenges is with the winter that we had, working with a temporary fill, you know, as soon as we fill them in, with the vehicle traffic that we have, it kicks the stuff right back out. But that's what we call cold patch. Starting April 25th, we'll be able to start using a hot patch, because the asphalt companies will be open and they'll be producing hot patch. And that is much more of a permanent fix, you know, hopefully not permanent forever, because we want to make sure that we redo all of our roads as part of our engineering objectives. But in terms of a temporary fix that will last longer than just putting in cold patch and 3 days later it rains and it washes out, the hot patch is coming.
Can't wait.
Yes. And my vehicle as well is crying, you know, when are these potholes going to be filled? But Pastor Guy and his team are on it. We're working through some equipment issues, and we'll talk about that as well, working through those equipment issues. And April 25th, the hot patch is coming, and we'll see that, which will give us a much more, much smoother finish. So in addition to the patching work and Sherman Street, Hackley Street, we finished that project up on the west side of Hackley. And in 2024, we have slated another DOT Hackley project that will complete the other piece of Hackley. So that's coming down the pipe. But in the meantime, Delano is underway again. You saw that we did the preliminary work before the winter, and the contractor's back out there on Delano. And so that should be, weather permitting, completed here shortly. And the next street that's on the list is this year is Leahy Street. So that should be underway pretty soon as well, adjacent to Delano. So by the end of 2022, those will be knocked out. And we'll be, during this year, going through the process of identifying what the next streets are for 2023. So keep your eyes open for information concerning that.
And, too, I think when we did the millage for the streets, we kind of hopped out there really good. And then COVID struck, and that delayed us for a year and a half or 2 years. So now we're back at it. So asking that the community be patient as we try to get these streets done and continue to better our community. It's a lot of streets that's in bad shape. Everybody want their streets done, but we can only do a certain amount every year. So it's going to take some time.
And that millage generates about $360,000 a year. And that $360,000 with the inflation and the cost of materials is about two blocks worth of paving. So please be patient. We're working with what we have in terms of the millage. Now, as we build more houses and we fill in the gaps that we have with the vacant lots, that millage is going to go from 360 to 720 eventually as we start filling in those gaps. But based on the number of houses that we have that are contributing to that millage, it's not a lot of money to do the paving projects. But as I've said on the show before, we're using some other strategic ways to try to address road projects, like piggybacking off of water projects through grant money and bonds. And so we're doing what we can. And thank you for your patience in the meantime.
And as we continue to get these streets done, mm-hmm. if I catch you doing donuts in the street, I'm locking your car up and you up.
Thank you. That's got to be frustrating. A brand new road and donuts tearing it up. So next, after the, you want to talk about Johnny O and the improvements there?
Yes. The Woodcliff Association, along with Mr. Fife, has been doing a tremendous job with trying to keep Johnny O. Harris Park looking beautiful. We have some new equipment up there as well. And Mr. Fife is presently working on a golf outing in September on the 17th, I believe. And those funds that he raised with that golf outing will be to get some more equipment and help to maintain and beautify Johnny O. Harris. So please come out and support that event.
And I want to remind everybody that Juneteenth is coming up here pretty soon. And we're looking to have a three-day celebration. Juneteenth is on a Sunday this year. This would be our third annual Juneteenth celebration, but our second annual fireworks event. We're planning events on Friday, afternoon, evening, Saturday, afternoon, evening, and then culminating on Sunday with events through the day and the fireworks show at dark. So we're excited to be back at this. And Jennifer Ross, kudos to her. She's done an amazing job and pulling this together in collaboration with the city. And we're excited to welcome Kaya to the leadership team for the Juneteenth event. And I think this is going to become the premier Juneteenth celebration on the lakeshore, up and down the lakeshore. This three-day event, you know, we started before other people were even on the lakeshore. We're celebrating Juneteenth, and so we're taking it to the next level again. What did you think of those fireworks last year?
The fireworks show was great last year. I'm excited about the Juneteenth celebration. Also, I'm excited that we'll have the Muskegon Heights Festival back this year.
Mm-hmm.
There's two festivals for the city of Muskegon Heights.
Right.
Let's show people that we can come together and enjoy ourselves without all of the nonsense. So I'm looking forward to those two events this summer.
Excellent. Excellent. So not to harken back to a less satisfying time in the middle of COVID, but I do want to remind folks and listing some of the things that we've done. If you remember at the farmers market, the COVID food giveaway, we gave out over 8,000 boxes of food at the farmer's market, you know, drive through at the farmer's market. We set that up to make those boxes of food available to our community and the folks around our community. I think some folks hadn't come into Muskegon Heights until they had heard that we were doing the food giveaway. And so it was good to welcome them into Muskegon Heights so that they could see the beauty of our community.
Definitely.
And while supporting that initiative during COVID. And we also did the first COVID testing, I think, in conjunction with the Guard.
Mm-hmm.
We did the
National Guard
within, I think they gave us 2 days to set it up. And we went right back to Farmers Market drive-through, and we were the first that the state supported in terms of, I think, the testing. We did 1,000 tests in one day.
You know? Yes.
And the goal was in the neighborhood of 700, 750, and we knocked that out of the park. And staff and community members contributed to that. It was a great show of unity for Muskegon Heights. And we need to remember those people that made that happen and the fact that we got that off the ground in short order. So
also give a shout out to Miss Mimi Rankin for getting the COVID boosters and vaccines and all those things in the city as well.
Yes. in terms of African-American numbers in the state of Michigan, Ms. Rinkin, in conjunction with Kathy Moore, they did a hell of a job in reaching out to the community, yes, engaging the community, educating the community, and getting folks in to get those shots. And I know the NAACP did a great job in supporting that effort. And so kudos to Phyllis Laudermill and her work in the NAACP, and Eric Hood as well. So it was a great, again, people coming together, working together, and collaborating. And the Pocket Park, Broadway.
Yes.
I think that's a nice look. The fencing that we have around there, which has cut down on a lot of the littering and the trash, and is a nice, clean view of the Pocket Park next to the Hideout. And that is the same style of fencing that's at the library. And so both of those projects, which were supported by CDBG, the Community Development Block Grant that's administered out of our planning department with Ms. Cook, really nice work, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things that I don't know if the attention been brought to is that some of our local liquor store supporters, mm-hmm, that use the Pocket Park hasn't been there since we put the fencing up. So
we're lacking their support.
That area is a lot cleaner. Mm-hmm. You don't have the bottles and stuff out there like we used to see in the past. So that worked out really well.
Right. And Affordable Fencing did a great job. I think after it was installed, a couple of the rails got bent and they came right out and didn't charge us and fixed those rails up. And so we give shout out to Affordable Fencing and the work that they've done, not only up on Broadway, but they did the work down at Mona Lake. So the new fencing that is down there at Mona Lake is another improvement. The boat launch area improvements with the ramp, as well as the gating down there, that's all new stuff that has come in within the last year and a half down at Mona Lake. You know, yes, we still have to work on the flooding issue down there. And so if you go down there and you see the gates closed, that's because of the flooding. And we close the gates because, unfortunately, when it does flood, people tend to drive through the grass and tear up the turf. And we want to preserve that. We know that the water will eventually go down and we can open up the gates again. So we put that up as a precaution to keep from damaging the turf out there. But with that, I want to say, you know, that the boat launch should be opened up about the 15th of May, and the park will be officially open with the other parks the Memorial Day weekend. So you can count on, you know, the grand opening of our parks Memorial Day weekend. So good stuff.
Yes, I was trying to find the exact date, but I know sometime in June, the Guns Program will be doing a fishing derby down in Mona Lake.
Oh yeah.
So we have kids down there fishing. We have someone down there showing them how to clean the fish and actually cooking them right down there that day. So I'll get that information out to the community as well. So we're looking to have a good time that day as well.
All right. So we got a question from Wells Villa. Ms. Harris, it says Adrian Harris. So yes, to answer your question, so the issue about trash that you might have down there, that is unfortunately the responsibility of the apartment complex if it is on the Wells Villa apartment property. And we have had conversations about the dumpster there and the amount of trash that's left at the dumpster there. And we're encouraging the, we're encouraging the property managers there to move to using totes instead of a big dumpster, which will hopefully do away with some of the dumpster itself and the opportunity for people to either load it up or leave stuff in front of it. But right now, that's an issue that they're working through. And unfortunately, we had to issue some citations about that. but you want to check with them first about removing trash and trees that are on the property. If it's not on the property, you should reach out to DPW and they can make arrangements to address anything that's on city property. All right. Thanks for your shout out, Ms. Shirley Sloan Williams. And I think we have another comment from 3000 Degrees. I don't have my glasses on, so
I think he got that answer.
Okay, got it. And yes, Ms. Ross, it'll be a packed summer, so we're excited. In addition to Juneteenth and the festival, we'll be doing a street fest in the month of August. Every Friday in the month of August, beginning at 6 p.m., going to till dusk, and we'll have Peck Street blocked off, and between Peck and Baker, we'll have food, music, live entertainment, beverages, and we just want to celebrate our downtown and the potential and opportunity that we are embracing with our new downtown area. We've put in for funding to pave Broadway Street. If that comes through, you know, we want to highlight the value of our downtown. Not many cities on the Lakeshore have a real downtown, and we need to celebrate that, bring the businesses back, bring the foot traffic back, and all the activity. And so we are using that opportunity with the Street Fest to bring that back to bear. So please look forward to every Friday in August, and we may extend it into September, depending on how the weather goes. After the Street Fest wraps up, then we're hoping to have movies in the park over in Rowan Park. We put up the big inflatable screen, and that'll be a chance for families to come out for kid-friendly movies for family fun. So we're excited to bring that activity back. It was the movies in the park was stalled because of COVID. This is a program that former Councilman Smith had put together, and we're working with him to bring that back as part of the Street Fest in August. We left out the farmer's market.
Farmer's market, yeah, mm-hmm. Comment from Ms. Matthews up there too.
Is that Ms. Danielle Matthews Towers? Please fix the sidewalk in the 2000 block of Baker. They dug it up 3 years ago and left it there as a safety hazard. Yeah, and that's something that I had received notice about before, trying to track down who was responsible for digging up the sidewalk, whether it was utilities or not. And typically based on the way the ordinance reads, if it's a utility that does it, or if it's a homeowner that does it as part of repair of a sewer system or sanitary sewer system, they're responsible for putting it back to the form that it was before they broke it. And other than that, sidewalks are the responsibility of the homeowner. But in this case, because we are having difficulty tracking that down, and to see who exactly was responsible for it, it's something that is on the list of public works repairs. So what else do we have there? Are we doing anything about the sewer blocking up? And why do we have to pay to clean our line when the overflow started in the street on your yard? And that's because, and thank you again, Mr. Bell. I know you had sent in a comment before, and we didn't get a chance to get to it in the program. So unfortunately, the way the ordinance reads, we are not to do work on the sanitary laterals between the house and the main line. We are only to do work on the main line. And so if there is a backup in the main line, we blow out that backup, and anything that is congested between your house and the main line is the responsibility of the homeowner. That's the way the ordinance is written, and we're following the ordinance on that. That's not to say that there could not be a modification to the ordinance on that. But that's something that council would have to consider. But as it stands now, following the policy, that's what we're working with. Let's see. Anything else? Any other question? Let's see, from Will Roberson Sr. A lot of good things happen in the city of Muskegon Heights. Keep up the good work. Thank you. And that's, we should comment about the upcoming renovations of the pavilion down at Mona Lake Park. You want to talk about that?
I'm excited about that. I think Mr. Robinson has a plan to make that a lounge or restaurant type of environment with live music, DJs or whatever. So it gives the opportunity for the people of Muskegon and Muskegon Heights to have a place for adult entertainment.
Right.
And good food as well. So I'm excited about that opportunity when that is able to open up. I'll probably be one of the first people there. So
I can't wait to see it. When Mr. Roberson came to me and said, do you have any vacant buildings in the downtown area? And we started talking about what were his plans to do with it. And it were some ideas around a bridal shop and possibly doing events and that kind of thing. I said, have you considered looking at the pavilion as an option? I mean, that's a beautiful location right on the water. And we'd love to have a partnership, public-private partnership, to renovate it, to get it open, and be able to provide a service to the community. And so that resulted in that operating agreement to have Mr. Roberson's LLC. I'm drawing a blank on the name of the LLC. Senior moment there, but we're excited to have them provide the operation of the pavilion in conjunction
Brown
with that.
Sugar Lounge.
Yeah, Brown Sugar. Yep. Get it open so that we can provide that service to the community. Yeah, Exquisite Dreams. There it is. Yep.
And in my mind, you know, I just envision being able to go there in the evening, get a meal, look over the water, see the sunset, whole ambiance and vibe, and listening to some good jazz or neo soul. You know, just excited about being able to have that kind of entertainment in Muskegon Heights.
Well, you are in direct alignment with what I envisioned when I first stepped out there, when I came here for my interview. I said I could see us doing jazz and music and sitting out here and enjoying the beauty of this lake and this property and the park. So hopefully that will get started here soon and be up and running so we can enjoy that property in enhanced ways. Let's see. I know we're running out of time here, but the list is really long. So the Light Up the City initiatives. Okay. The Light Up the City initiatives. The street lights that are on Broadway.
Yes.
That was a huge, huge effort to make that happen. 64 lights in all. We were able to get 53 of them back on. And we're working on the balance of them. But it is certainly nice to drive down Broadway now to be able to see the potholes that you have to dodge, unfortunately. But to be able to see the nice light line on our beautiful downtown street. And police reserve program. I'll let you grab that.
The police reserve program is an initiative that we started to send local youth, local young men and women to the police academy. And if you go to the academy sponsored by the city of Muskegon Heights, you have to work for the city of Muskegon Heights for 3 years. Now, if we do not have a full-time position available for you when you get out of the academy, you are able to apply at different departments, but you still have to work some time with the Muskegon Heights Police Department to repay us for our investment in sending you to the academy. So again, we're looking for ambitious young men and women who wants to be a positive impact on their community. So if you know anybody that's looking to get into law enforcement, please give me a shout.
And that's near and dear to my heart, because I came into the law enforcement profession as a reserve officer and shortly thereafter went to a full-time officer. And so it was a launching pad for public service for me. I learned the ups and downs of community and the love of being able to engage with people in positive ways and to have a positive impact on people's lives by using my skills and abilities to be a good law enforcement officer. So I encourage everybody to consider law enforcement through the reserve program. That way you can be an officer and still work your day job, so to speak. And so in my reserve program, there were lawyers, there were teachers, I mean, from all walks of life that were part of it, that ultimately went on to careers in law enforcement from there. So it's a good way to be able to give back to your community and to be part of helping community be community. Police vehicles.
Yes, we were able, with the support from council, get 5 police vehicles last year. That was very needed in our department. So that's been huge with being able to have new cars that's not breaking down as we are here trying to patrol and keep the community safe. I just wanted to touch on Ms. Aubrey's question. Mr. Bell, I believe, got a grant for $150,000 that we were able to purchase camera equipment with. Mm-hmm. So, and we do have other equipment, camera equipment that we have been putting out throughout the city to monitor some of our trouble areas. And also this summer, you will see some special details that is directed at some of our problems, like prostitution and panhandling and those sorts of things. So be on the lookout for us this summer. We will be active and busy.
Great. So we're going to start wrapping this up. I do want to hit a couple quick questions and then close it out from there. And then we can go through it. We still have a good 15, 20 other items that we haven't touched on in terms of things that are happening and gonna happen. So we'll come back to that with the future show. But I did want to point out that the vacant lot program, if you're interested in purchasing a vacant lot, they are for sale. But you can purchase them for $100. You have to pay three years worth of advance taxes, and you have to commit to building a house on that lot in that 3-year period. And so there are some requirements associated with it. So for those people who are looking at the lots as a place to build a garage or to park your cars and the like, that won't qualify. So you have to be committed to building a house within the 3-year period. You got to start within a year and be done by 3 years. So that is the requirement, and the advance payment of the taxes for the 3 years. Altogether, it comes out to be about $590 per lot, and that includes the advance taxes, the processing fee, and the closing costs associated with that. So just keep that in mind. If you make a proposal to purchase a lot, you need to include in that at least $100, a proposal to purchase it for at least $100, and that you're going to intend to build a house on it for home ownership. Not to rent out, but home ownership. And there was one other one that I wanted to check on in preparation for the cleanup week and upcoming events this year. When will we be residential street cleaning truck start? So, yeah, we expect that when we get into the May months, the street cleaning should start. So look out for that. And I do want to thank the people that came out last night for the volunteer meeting. We had a great meeting. We had about 15, 20 people show up about working to clean up as part of our cleanup initiative for the spring here, moving into the summer that we kicked off in April. And I'm excited about the collaboration that we were able to initiate between multiple groups who are cleaning up. But if you are interested in being part of cleanups in the community, feel free to reach out to my office at 733-8870. And we'll get you connected to a cleanup program. If you're with an organization that wants to do cleanup, you need to fill out a form in order to do that so that we know that you're cleaning up and we can work with you and our DPW to help give you the tools or the resources to do the cleanup, like bags and rakes and maybe a mower or two, those kinds of things. But more importantly, whatever is the debris that you pick up or end up with, we're in a position, because we know, to go out there and pick that up once it's done. So there was one last comment about fixing the roads. Yes, we are trying to fix the roads, but unfortunately, we don't have the tax base to be able to fix the roads. So until we get that tax base back, We are struggling in a structural deficit to be able to address that. But we've got plans in place, and obviously we are aware of it, and we're working towards getting more done as quickly as possible.
And no, it's not too late to sign up for cleanup, Mr. Bell.
Yes. What? Oh, yeah, Brian Bell. Okay. All right. So, yes, Mr. Bell, contact my office, 733-8870. Give us your information, and we'll get you connected to one of the cleanups. So thank you very much. And with that, unless you had something to add, Chief?
No, again, thank you guys for listening to us today. Let's all work together to try to improve our city. I think with us working together, we can go a long ways.
Amen to that. So, and thank you for joining the show. It's always nice to have you on and as a favorite son of the community and with all the great things that your department is doing and in collaboration with the community. It's exciting. So I want to thank you, everybody, for tuning in today to Reaching New Heights with Troy Bell, the city manager, City of Muskegon Heights, where you get to know what you need to know so you'll be in the know. 103.7 The Beat.